Well, the EOH CEO, Stephen Vankula, is standing by. We'll talk to him in just a moment, all about what it's been like to manage through this COVID-19 crisis. We had this idea sparked by another chief executive last week who just said, well, you know what, I think I'd like to, if you don't mind, chat about this. We thought, hold on a sec, it'd be good to hear the views of CEOs across industry. So we'll talk to Stephen Vankula this evening here on The Money Show. But first, on the next Money Show, Debbie Goodman-Byatt, who's the leadership expert, the chief executive at Jack Hammer. She is going to be on our How It Works feature to talk about the ups and downs of managing and badly managing and well-managed people remotely. My goodness me, everyone's trying to work from home right now. And when last did you actually speak to your boss, and has your productivity improved as a result? More and more companies saying they will continue to have their employees working from home at least till the end of the year. How will managers manage, and is the test on you or your manager? Also, branding and advertising expert Andy Rice with Heroes and Zeros.
702.
Bruce is on The Money Show.
So what is it like being the CEO of a company in the midst of a pandemic? I would assume it's not particularly easy. It's never be easy being a CEO. People think that because you get the best parking space, generally speaking, you get the biggest salary and the nicest office, and you get hot and cold running assistants, that the life of a CEO is easy. But imagine taking over a company that was already in trouble, a company where there were allegations that several of its businesses that were involved in dodgy dealings of various degrees, and there was evidence to back that up. Share price had collapsed in a heap, and your job was to go in and turn it all around. And just as you're making progress, COVID-19 hits. Stephen Vankula is that guy. He is the chief executive of EOH. That sounds familiar to you, Stephen.
Hi, Bruce. How are you doing? Thanks very much. So, well, the only good thing is I had a year of practice run before the next crisis came, so we were pretty well prepared, and that made the big difference.
But nobody can prepare. I mean, you say prepared, but I mean, you were perhaps in slightly better fighting shape to deal with the crisis, because this is not something that anybody, surely, even in your wildest dreams, when you're sitting and plotting and planning the future, and you were looking at what the real risks are to your business, a global pandemic with a 2-month shutdown plus, wasn't on the radar, surely?
No, surely not. But the point is a year ago, we went into a similar crisis. We didn't have any of the systems in place. I didn't have any of the people in place. I didn't have any of the information in place. And we went through a trial run. We then had to go and sit in front of all the risk committees. We had to speak to our customers. We had to get a communication strategy up. I had to replace the whole exco, the whole board, with the people that I could go forward with. We didn't have daily cash flow like I have today. I get weekly sales, daily cash flow, daily debtors and creditors. We put all of that in place to manage the last crisis, and then you get the next crisis, and you're ready for it. And obviously, there's other things you have to do. I've talked about what I call the 3 C's. The first one is don't waste a crisis, and I'll come back to that. The second one is communication, communication, communication. And the third one is you've got to be conservative. And it was quite interesting. We were the first mover in South Africa doing the big salary cuts. You know, we came out with our half-year results, and I said I needed to save 10% of revenue. Fortunately, my salary costs are 50% of my costs, so we cut 20%, which was already, 10% of revenue. And really, it's about, you're going into battle. You know, someone's told you the enemy's coming, but you don't know how big their guns are. What do? You don't wait for them to come. You set up camp with the best resources that you've got. And even if you over-prepare, you don't mind, because there's uncertainty, and that's what we did. You know, I set this target of 400 million rands worth of cost savings in the last 4 months of our year. We've already achieved that. You'll see there's a SENS coming out tomorrow morning. We had to pay the banks. We've done that. That's all in the SENS, you'll see. So we've delevered. Since I arrived to the end of May, we've delevered from 4.1 billion of debt to 2.6 billion of debt. And so that's been a big, big practice run. The second thing is comms. You've got to give people some view on what you're doing. And so I started up doing it twice a week. I now do it once a week with all my staff. We call it the water cooler session. It's just a chat. I give them updates on my view on COVID. We give them updates on the business. We talk about things like very difficult things like salary cuts and how they're going to affect what's happening with TERS. What do we think the economy is going to do? What am I hearing from the economists? What am I hearing from the government? Because clearly I'm in a privileged position, being on Busa, being involved in some of these forums, that gives them information that they wouldn't have had. And that just helps them feel that you at least have got a view on where you're going. And the third thing is don't waste a crisis. My big thing was get fit. That was for me and for the company. And so we went into a whole strategy process that we thought it originally was going to get disrupted because no one can get together in a room. We decided that actually everyone's going to have time. We did a bottom-up. It's been an amazing exercise, lots and lots of time, lots of people. And we've actually got a board-approved strategy going forward. And, you know, I had 272 speedboats with no comms, as you know. 272 companies weren't working together. We've now started a process of creating, you know, 40 frigates or destroyers or whatever you want to call them, all with comms, all with the same plan. And we've been executing on that. And then the last thing was, you know, I got fitter, spent some good time reacquainting myself with my wife, who hasn't seen me for 18 months because of the crisis we went through. That's been fantastic. I've got fit. I've lost about 3 kilos. I've got fit again. And, you know, at least I can come out of the crisis saying, you know, it actually wasn't too bad. Maybe money-wise was a bit more difficult. I took a 25% salary cut. But as you said, CEOs get paid more. At least we've come out of it, I think, or we're coming out of it much better than we went into it.
When you're selling this idea of everybody tightening their belts, and how hard a sell has that been? And did you have to couch it in a particular way to, look, it'll be for 3 months, for 6 months, in perpetuity. We're going to have to work our way back. We'll reinstate when things improve. And this is how much things have to improve before we reinstate. I mean, how did that conversation go?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. It's a very difficult conversation because it's a very emotional one. What we did, though, is, you know, I needed to hit a target because I knew that when the enemy come, I want to be 100% prepared. I don't want to be slightly unprepared because then I failed as a CEO. I sold to our staff as this is about keeping the EOH team together as far as possible. Will there be retrenchments? I'm sure there will. We already had some that were going on. You would have seen at half year, we'd lost some people. But we need to make ourselves as fit as possible so you save as many jobs as possible. So I asked everyone, even if you're lucky to be on the right side of the business, you've got to, you know, give something for the whole. And largely, people were okay with that. Obviously, TERS helped. We got some pension fund holidays. So for the first 20% cut, people were about 5% on average worse off. And clearly, we protected the people below 256,000 rand a year. Now going into it, we've saved that money. We've made other savings. Our property people, our landlords were just amazing, allowing us to extend our leases, but obviously giving us a bit of a holiday. That's made all the difference. And you'll see tomorrow, we've paid the banks nearly 180 million rand in this period, and my cash is slightly more than it was at half year. So we've managed to squeeze ourselves through. Obviously, there's still some, you know, I still think there's a lag coming. I still think there's some recession coming, and we'll have to continue to manage that. But the team's been amazing at, you know, being a collective. And I think this is about South Africa as well. We all have to give up something so that South Africa, you know, proliferates and, you know, gets through it, because some people have been affected worse. Just because you're in the hospitality industry, you didn't do anything wrong. You just happen to be working in the wrong place. It's not fair that, you know, you have to suffer much, much more than everyone else. And we've got to find a way to sort that out.
Yeah, it's a tough environment to be in, Stephen Fonkola. Thank you for teaching us something about how you've navigated it. Stephen Fonkola, Chief Executive of EOH.